Good morning. It is Monday. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff hanging out here with you on a post-Sunday Falcons victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Good morning, guys.
Morning, Tiff.
Greetings. Salutations. Dylan, what's up?
What it do, Tiff?
You know.
I got a quick question for you. How's that new Peloton treating you?
It's good.
Been good?
Yes.
How many times have you rode it thus far already?
I got it before I went out of town.
Oh, so you haven't had
probably it. I haven't really had a chance. Yeah. So this week will be my more of my chance of dabbling, but I have done it at least twice.
Okay. So but this is the week you're really getting it in. The legs are going
to
be churning.
We're going to try.
I love it.
We're going to try to get it in before the show.
I love it.
Punch me in the face. No, I'm just kidding. All right. How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm great.
Good. Just enjoying the victory. I had a good Sunday watching them Falcons get that dub, man. That was a big, big one to get off the back.
Well, it's huge, and you played a team that had, you know, that's a really good team. That's a playoff team last year. That's
three straight division,
because they didn't win a division the year they won the Super Bowl. Actually, New Orleans won the division that year. And look, three straight times they've won the division. They've got I don't give a damn who they're missing. They weren't missing a lot of their players on defense. They weren't missing the three-headed monster at running back. And
had all five linemen.
And
healthy.
Yeah. And did you see that? At times they had three running backs in there. I'm sitting there and I'm looking, I'm scanning because, you know, it's really hard with a team like that. Because they have Rashad White and Bucky Irvin, and those guys share the running back. And 1-7 is hard to distinguish at times across the football field. And I look up and I go, I'm like, 1-7? 44! I'm like pointing, like, Wes, all three guys. And they ran that like a little kind of like option type play.
Yeah.
I mean, they came out with their head on fire. They really did. They came out to play, and you got punched in the mouth on the road.
I was going to say, what was you guys' panic level after the first two drives, seeing them run the football? Because mine was on like 9. I was like, dude, this ain't good. This ain't good.
I'm just sitting here, and I'm like, were we not ready? Did we not think? Like, if I knew that they were going to come out and run the ball.
I did, too.
Then I know
you
and
I tweeted back and forth about it. It was like, dude, you know they're going to come out and run it, but I don't know that we have the horses to stop it. We'll see what happens.
If I know that Cade Otton is the guy you got to stop, then I know that they knew that Cade Otton was the guy you got to stop. But you got to give them credit. They had a game plan, and they came out, and I say Tampa, and they punched you square in the mouth.
Yeah, they did, man.
And good teams. Did you hear me? Good teams, they respond. And that's what they did. Jesse Bates responded on, the second or third play of the game? Punches it out, you get the touchdown, then they go right back down the field. They end up getting up 14-7 on you.
Did I not call him the biggest free agency acquisition? I feel like it's creeping towards, I don't want to say ever, but.
Fontenot's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can say Kirk Cousins could be at some point.
Yes.
But. Tiffany, it's easy to nail.
Partial to defense.
It's easy to nail a quarterback, right? It's easy to go sign a guy who's had success everywhere he's been in the NFL at quarterback. It's not so easy to go when you haven't had a pass rush in so many years, still don't, and you say, hey, I'm going to sign this safety to a huge contract, and all he's going to do is be
Make
the biggest
plays.
Impact player on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. And I mean, I think he has been worth. I don't think they paid him enough.
Yeah. Look, man, he's definitely been an impact player the last couple of years, no doubt about it, getting those turnovers. Kirk Cousins, impact signee as well. Do not sleep on a guy that has quickly become one of my favorite players for this team, Darnell Mooney, another impact signee as a free agent wide receiver. Man, it felt like he was all over the place yesterday. The speed is completely different than anybody else brings to the table on this offense, man. So just I don't even know how to, if we were doing One Word Wednesday, I don't even know how I'd kind of circle this victory. It's gritty, but efficient, and you cause them to do things differently than they wanted to at times, which was nice. I mean, I had questions going throughout the end of the first half of why they're not running the ball anymore. I know Arch did in the booth as well, but nonetheless, man, it was a a solid win. I think it looks a little better if Youngway makes the kick at the end, but what would that have been? You know, we wouldn't have had as many heart attacks as we have throughout the year if things like that were to happen. So,
this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, call Morgan & Morgan or hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm.
How about the, he's 31 to 17. You get the interception by AJ. Phenomenal play, by the way. That was a ball hawking type play.
Yes, it was.
By a player that has been questioned because, you know, he went like almost 2 years on interception. So you get that, right? Then Algier fumbles the safety. They score the touchdown. It's 31-26. You get the ball back with 6:52. And you go on a drive that has a huge penalty in the middle of it. And you burn 5 minutes and I believe 51 seconds off the clock. And it gives them no time. I know Youngway misses the kick. Youngway makes the kick. I mean, I'm not saying you're walking up 18, tipping your cap at the crowd.
Right, yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm telling
you, a lot
you,
more comfortable.
It's a hell of a lot smoother of a walk. You don't have to make that putt with a little bit of pressure on you.
Especially after what happened yesterday in the Commanders and Bears game. You see how that one can go south in a hurry. So,
yeah,
Youngway would have made a lot more people at ease if he would have knocked that one through. But to your point, man, incredible drive. Mentioned it a minute ago, Charlie Warner on a catch. It might have been was that his second catch of the year, Charlie Warner? Might have been his first.
I'll tell you this. It's his fifth catch in 25 games.
Okay, yeah.
Well, what Wes dropped.
That tells the story. And then you get the scramble that you and I talked about on Friday with Rob, the fair foul. Was anybody else register a carry on the game other than Bijan and Algier?
Scramble.
I know.
It was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Here I go. Watch me go. I love it, Kirk. And then the quarterback sneak. First quarterback sneak of Kirk Cousins' Falcons tenure. So, yeah, man. A couple of left hooks right there. Nice to end the game. It was a beautiful drive.
Dylan, whenever you get a chance, it's not this segment, but you're going to have to pull up his pregame speech, Kirk Cousins' pregame speech. I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you guys see
it? I didn't see his. I saw Jameis Winston's, which was intriguing to say the least.
You need to watch Kirk Cousins' pregame speech, but hopefully we'll get that for you because it's good. And the comment section is probably even better. But with that win now, so the Falcons moved to 5-3 overall. They are 4-0 against the NFC South. So they've taken control of the division now.
Yeah, and you own the tiebreaker completely against the what many have perceived as the best roster in the division, which is Tampa Bay. And I know that they're short. Godwin, Evans is going to come back. I don't care. That's like I said, it's a team that still has weapons. You saw what Kate Otten is one of the better tight ends in the league. They've got a backfield that can run. They've got players all over the defense. You had to go down there and win a game with a team. That team needed that game more than you, and they knew it. And you had a fort. You took control of the game. You know, you tried to do what every one of you out there in your cars has been whining and complaining about. Let me finish.
Every one of you out in your cars, don't be talking down to our listeners like
that. Let me finish. So no.
We have the wake-up call today, right? People can call in?
No, man up Monday, sorry, y'all.
You can tee off on both.
Let me finish. Is that they wanted Algier to have the ball in his hands in situations like he did. And the mistake, I think, I don't really 100% blame Algier, because I do believe that the penetration, immediate penetration allowed it to be the botched handoff. But whatever it was, they were doing what we all asked them to do. To put the ball in Algier's hands when you need tough yards, you need to grind the game away. You need to salt it away, right? That's what everybody in the car has wanted. And it was a turning point almost for Tampa Bay. But you were able to overcome that. These games are so hard to win.
On the road.
Go ask Baltimore how easy it is to win on the road when a team's down superstars.
Baltimore had the game yesterday that we had last week. Just sleepwalking.
They traded their best receiver, Mike, and they lost their starting quarterback. Cleveland did. And they won on the road. They won at home against a division rival.
Mm. More on the Falcons' victory, guys. What about Kyle Pitts? Big game.
There was a couple times I wanted to yell at him. Let's just put it that way. But, yeah, big game.
Touchdowns can erase some things, right? No, maybe.
As long as you get across
the plane. Well, not when you almost erase them yourself.
We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We fight with respect.
We fight first.
We fight no cap.
We fight no cap.
We walk in your trap, take over your trap.
We walk in your trap, take over your trap.
We fight with respect.
We fight with respect.
We fight no cap.
We fight no cap.
We walk in your trap, take over your trap.
We walk in your trap, take over your trap.
We walk in your trap, take over your trap.
That was Kirk Cousins' pregame talk with the teams before they went out there and beat the Buccaneers to take control of the NFC South. They won 31-26, but I would say I should just call him Kirko because he is full Atlanta now, according to his pregame speech.
I mean,
walk into your trap, take over your trap.
Here we go.
He is.
Attaboy.
He's something. He really is. He cracks me up because it's I mean, I know I remember being covering this team for all of Matt Ryan's career, and a lot of people tried to make fun of Matt Ryan at times, and Kirk just takes it to a different level.
Really does.
I mean,
you swag and surf.
He accepts it.
Well, yeah. It's the full embrace. But see,
there's a wholesomeness to it. That's what you like about it. He makes walk into your trap, take over your trap, feel wholesome.
It's 100% who he is, though.
I know. It's genuine.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to respond when he first started. They're like, what?
You heard me.
We run fast? What? Okay.
Oh, let me tell you something. I wish, for his sake, I wish we could play Tampa Bay every week because – I was sitting there with Arch, Tiff, and we were waiting. We were actually waiting for Kirk. And I was like, hey, I want to look up his numbers real quick. And I want to, in week one, or not week one, but week five, when you first, the first time, the Thursday night game, you played Tampa. And I started, then I had to do math, which made it last a lot longer than I wanted it to.
Yeah, no thanks.
But in two games against Tampa Bay with the Falcons. Now this is not counting the fact that he's had a lot of success in his career against Tampa Bay, but just with the Falcons, he's 65 of 87 for 785 yards, completing 74.7% of his passes with 8 touchdowns and a pick. That is just in two games against Tampa Bay.
He's been special, man.
A blitz happy team. Who does a phenomenal job of disguising it. And they do a phenomenal job of disguising it of where they're coming from when they do it.
Yeah.
He's been, a couple of passes short of flawless, honestly.
Yeah. I got to tell you, man, watching this game yesterday, both of these quarterbacks at times, specifically the second quarter, a little bit of the third quarter, that's before Baker started turning the ball over. And shout out to A.J. Terrell and Jesse Bates. But there was a point where both of them were surgical, right? At the same time, almost. And Baker, you looked up, and I think we talked about it in the postgame. I think at one point, Baker was like 13 of 14, and they're running the ball down your throat. They get like, 60 yards in the first quarter on that on the first couple of drives they're able to put together. So there was great quarterback play throughout this. And obviously, Kirk, has been at another level facing Tampa Bay this year. But I think that when you look at what Kirk is able to do against this team, he kind of relishes getting the blitzes from Todd Bowles, doesn't he? Like, he looks at it. He can read the defense. You see so many times that he yesterday get through his reads, third, fourth, fifth minute. He mentioned Bijan on the touchdown, the receiving touchdown to Bijan, that he was the fifth option as far as that goes. And I think that's awesome that he's able to get through his reads. And shout out to the O-line and Caleb McGarry for being able to get him there.
He used the word special before. Here's Coach Reem Morris on Kirk Cousins Day.
We went and got him for that zone replay run today when he scrambled up the middle. Did a great job. He got a sneak today. I mean, I'm fired up, man, what he's able to do. He's a processor. He's smart. He knows situational ball. He keeps us in the right frame of mind, and that's what he's supposed to do.
Well, when he sat at his press conference as he had, I don't want to say accepted the job, but when he first took the job, he mentioned multiple times elite processor, elite processor, elite processor, had the quarterback position. Because of Todd Bowles.
Mm.
Because Todd Bowles' defense, they're so phenomenal with showing you pressure, but you don't know where it's coming from. They do a good job of pulling this guy and then bringing this guy. They did it on a third down play early in the game. I believe it was 3rd and 8, and it might have been 7-7 or 14-7, Tampa, and you're on their side of the field. And basically the right side, they brought guys from one guy on the left side and would be the B gap, and the other side on the edge, and you just can't pick up everybody. You get confused on who's dropping, who's coming. Bijan did a good job of stepping up in the B gap one, but the edge guy came.
Right.
And you didn't know it. And that's what Kirk does. He's able to process it, get out quickly. He made one of the best throws. He made the best throw I've ever seen him make as a Falcon quarterback on that drive to put the field goal at the end of the first half,
yep.
where he loops it over the Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was man coverage underneath with safety help up top, and they basically had Darnell bracketed, but he dropped it over Izzy's head.
Yeah, it looked like maybe a cover two look. Not really sure. I had to go back and look at it, but you're right. Heck of a throw, and is able to hit it right before Darnell goes out of bounds, and just that's what he's known for, man. He was doing that all day yesterday at times, and you mentioned Raheem. Got on there and mentioned him using his legs too, which I thought was awesome to see. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts, let's switch gears because I brought him up before the break, and I guess you guys had a lot to say about, crossing the goal line.
Well, I love the way he started. You know, you start the game on the fourth down, right? And Kyle is able to get through a hold, and because they tried to hold him on the play, and it was an easy throw for Kirk, and he walks in the end zone easily. The other one where – Mike, I want you to get to what you saw about the breakdown. There was some odd stuff in the formation and maybe the route concepts in the play. But it's a hell of a throw by Kirk because Kyle is in the middle of – it looked like a Top Gun scene.
Yeah.
where there's one friendly and all these bogeys around Kyle. And he's able to catch the ball.
I was like, where are you going with this?
And fight. But go back and yeah. you guys are at home. Go back and watch the play.
They're all converging right there in the middle.
Yeah, it's like he's zigging and they're all zagging. And he's able to break through. And he breaks a tackle at one point in the play. And he got lackadaisical with how he crossed.
Lackadaisical is the word.
Attaboy.
With the way he crossed the goal line, right? Because I think a lot of people say, well, he got lazy. I don't think he got lazy. I think he got comfortable. I think he thought he had done the work.
Can be one and the same, but yeah.
And
sometimes comfort leads to laziness, right? When you don't
you get got. That's how you get got in this
league. I'll be honest. The same thing, and I'm pretty sure it was the same exact spot on the field, happened last year with Antoine Winfield and Desmond Ridder.
No, it was the other side.
Was it the other side? From where I was looking on the film, I thought, okay, that's the exact same thing that happened to Desmond Ridder last year, and it was the exact same player on defense for Tampa. And that's, speaking of which, that's one of the things we haven't even brought up yet, is the fact that Antoine Winfield was on the field with Kalijah Kancey, and a lot of their parts they did not have last time were back for this one, and you still had a great day offensively for Kirk Cousins, right?
Yeah.
You didn't have the 500 yards passing, but you still had some pretty quality players that were plugged in. But I'm with it. Inside that Kyle Pitts, the throw in the middle of the field, and he finds a seam and obviously stiff arms a guy. I'm trying to focus on that, but at the same time, when I look at what Kyle Pitts did around the goal line, I'm so frustrated. But you mentioned the motion before. They bring Darnell Mooney in motion in the backfield, snap the ball before he gets to Jake Matthews, and he inserts into the line of scrimmage. Now, nothing ended up happening off of it, but I was watching that thinking, okay, maybe that'll pop up either later in this game or later in the year at some point where Mooney is in motion, inserts into the line of scrimmage on pass protection, and then goes out in the flat to the right. So just special all the way around. Both passing plays at Kyle Pitts. I don't want to overlook the fact that the first one was a fourth down, right? It was a fourth down play where you're like, oh, man, I wonder if they convert. This Raheem Moore is trying to make a statement. And then they hit Tampa Bay deep over the top to Kyle Pitts, and he scores a long touchdown on that one and did not, get risky with the ball crossing the goal line.
But, Tiffany, to your point, since Kyle was shut out against New Orleans on the 29th of September a month ago, 21 catches, two touchdowns, and maybe 400, somewhere around 300 yeah. something yards because yep. he's had an 88, a 70, a 65, and a 91. So, yeah, I think Kyle Pitts is awoken from
whatever. Kirk Cousins being here.
Well, and I think that's I really go back and you look at his best performances in his career has been with Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins. And it's not just the on-the-field stuff. It is, I think, the leadership that those guys can bring off the field, over there on the sideline. Hey, man, what are you doing? You got to run that route this way. Like, get it, you know, not being afraid to motivate a guy different way, because we all need different types of motivation.
Speaking of which, the leadership, there was a moment, Wes mentioned it on the broadcast, I'm sure you saw it too since you were in the booth with those guys, that there was a moment that Raheem sits down next to Kyle Pitts on the bench after that whole snafu at the goal line, and it sounds like they had a conversation. I don't know if you got a chance to witness it, but Wes mentioned the fact that it looked a little animated down there as far as the conversation Raheem was having with Kyle Pitts, and I think that's huge.
Well, this is where your old friend Jerry Gray, Tiff, yes, is so instrumental right, as the assistant head coach.
Yeah.
He also works with the DBs. But Ra was hot on the sideline.
As he should have been.
Jerry Gray has a moment with Ra. And then Raheem goes over and he sits down on the bench, and Kyle's sitting over there by himself. And there was a conversation. And, you know, if I don't read lips, I'm terrible. I can't read Dylan's lips when he tries to mouth something to me on this other side of the glass. But I can tell you it was animated, but not as animated as people probably thought, because he did calm down when he got over there. But it was exactly what I think Kyle Pitts needed when he talked to Arch in the post game. He's like,
learned a lesson.
Learned a lesson, right through. And Arch is like, that's great, but what happened on the actual play? Like, before you got there, I mean, everything else, because that's what bugs me so much, is we're all going to talk about the play at the goal line, but not the catch he makes in traffic and breaks a tackle.
I wasn't the one that brought up the play at the goal line.
Well, that's the problem, though. It has to be talked about.
You can't compartmentalize that
one part, so that's why I was making the joke off of it.
Yeah, you can't compartmentalize. I mean, Kyle Pitt, everything kind of fits under one umbrella, so it was frustrating. But nonetheless, he did have a good day yesterday. Continues to get a larger part of the target shares, too, which we'll touch on throughout today's show.
When we come back, we'll get you a check on college football, some movement in the AP Top 25, who's joined the ranks? We'll discuss on the other side on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, let's get to the AP Top 25 poll, because maybe there weren't as many surprises over the weekend when it came to college football games. But the top 10, there's been some shakeups now. And there's also been a new addition to the Top 25. Oregon's at 1, Georgia at 2, Penn State at 3, Ohio State at 4, 5 is Miami, 6 is Texas, 7 is Tennessee. But guys, I want to point out here before we get to Notre Dame, BYU at 10 is Texas A&M. So they have climbed up in the ranks.
Yeah.
They look tough to beat right now.
Texas A&M in the driver's seat in the SEC, and with a quarterback controversy on their hands. Like, it's just crazy. That's how gritty that team is. They had two quarterbacks, had to put in a backup, and they're still in the driver's seat. And I don't know all the tie-breaking scenarios, guys, but when you look at the possibility, right, that, you know, if Georgia were to stumble, and I'm not saying they will, but if they were to, the fact that you could look at a Texas A&M matchup on Thanksgiving weekend with the conference in its crosshairs and everything to gain, and then it's possible that it could happen again. Just, I mean, I don't know all the tiebreakers, but it's a possibility, and it's crazy. It was crazy to watch that game this weekend.
Well, it was a tale of two halves, really. I mean, LSU did a phenomenal job defensively of getting after Connor Wegman and keeping him from doing anything. And he was constantly moving. And Marcel Reed is a guy that I know a little bit about, mainly because I got to watch him beat the brakes off my favorite team early in the year when Wegman was injured.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't play. Wegman comes back, and he plays pretty good against Missouri. It was okay last week, and then this week he was brutal. Reed comes in, and you got to give Mike Elko credit.
Yeah.
Making a switch.
I think it was a touchdown on his first play, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of a red zone opportunity there.
They got
there.
The turnover.
Yeah, it was a turnover, coming off a turnover.
And they immediately went to business, and he left him in, and he just He was phenomenal. He only threw the ball twice, but two for two for 70 yards. But with his feet, he was phenomenal. The running game got going. They were able to – that basically with him just under center or behind center, they kept LSU's defense completely off balance.
Do you think Marcel Reed's their starting quarterback from here on out, or you think it's Wegman's job?
That's going to be one of those – that's tough to answer because you play South Carolina – this weekend, and I think you maybe go with Wegman at first if you don't do a rotating system because you've won with both guys. But Marcel Reed is the future. There's no doubt about that.
I love it.
So Vanderbilt, they played a close game against Texas in Nashville. They lost 27-24. So Vanderbilt now drops out of the top 25, and I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I find it ridiculous that Vanderbilt squeaks in the top 25 at 5-2. They lose by 3 points to the number five team, and they find their way back out. It just I've said it to you guys a number of times before, and I've talked to Bama fans about this time. Blue face. Vanderbilt's a good team. Like I know they lost to Georgia State. I know it. We covered it. It was just down the street. But it's still a really good football team, a dangerous football team. Nashville, never thought I'd say it. Nashville's a tough place to go in right now, right? And I think that they showed some grit in this game. Weren't able to get it done. Quinn Ewers getting back on track just a little bit. But, man, they're just a gritty team that does things the right way, and you got to love watching Vanderbilt play right now.
I've always thought that it's been a harder place to win than people give it credit for. But now it feels a different – and it's in a different way. I mean, this team has played – Vatek beat them. They played Missouri on the road.
Should've
Missouri was healthy, should have beat them. They beat Alabama. They beat Kentucky.
Like you barely escape Texas, then you drop out of the poll. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Texas barely escapes you. Is what I should have said.
I mean, Illinois gets boat raced, and on the road, and they are still in the top 25.
It's my lock of the week, by the way.
And Vanderbilt is not. I'm happy for the Colorado fans out there because Deion has got them in the top 25 now.
And they're bowl eligible now. They beat Cincinnati.
He's rolling. That was a good game.
Do you believe them now?
Believe what? They're a good team.
I believe they are beating the teams in front of them, and I believe that that's all you can do is control what you can control. And I give Deion a ton of credit for that because, I think they had one or two wins when he took over 2 years ago. So he's overhauled the roster. He's clearly built something where they believe in, and that's what matters.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it's a mentality for that team right now, and they're playing with a little bit of a swagger. Now, I hate the way he overhauled the roster. Don't get me wrong. I've been on record about that numerous times. I don't like the way he went about his business, but you have to give him credit for the focus that it feels like his team has been able to somehow capture. After a couple of rocky moments in the early parts of the season, they're off to the races, man, and they're beating good football teams.
And Travis Hunter's healthy.
Yeah, Travis Hunter's healthy. He's going to get every shot to probably go out and win the Heisman Trophy. So they're a lot of fun to watch right now. He deserves a ton of credit.
Back here with our team in the city, I could not get that out. Georgia Tech, this is an ugly loss to Va Tech, 21-6.
You're just so limited offensively without Haynes King.
You really are.
Jamal Haynes played as well as he could. I think he got banged up at one point. I do believe he came back in. Forgive me, Tech fans. I watched the first quarter from home, listened to the next quarter and a half on Sirius. I actually listened to Va Tech's. Guys, you know how serious will do.
Yeah.
Dude, they're hilarious. Bill Roth, they were talking about
stuff.
They've got Vatek's got a linebacker, I think it is, that speaks French.
Nice.
Tiff. And and they were talking about it, and they were going back and forth about what language they speak in Belgium. and it was hilarious. And I'm like, can you get back to the game? And it was hilarious. This guy. And I'm a big fan of local play-by-play guys, obviously. Yeah. But it was cracking me up. But anyways.
That is funny.
Back to the point, Tim. I apologize for the rant or getting off topic. But it's hard. Va Tech's a pretty good team. And it's hard to win a game without Haynes King. Pyron played. He didn't play great. Let's just be honest. He ended up putting in, is it Philo, I believe, who is the future. But it was a little too little too late. So
let me ask you this before, because I know we're headed to break soon. Would you like to take a parting shot at FSU since you are a Gators fan? Because they fell to Miami 36-14.
Yeah, I'm highly irritated for two reasons with FSU and their fans. For one, the place I always like to go in Tampa called American Social was packed out with FSU fans and a Halloween party because they wanted to watch their team get look like a doormat to Miami. And the other thing was, you couldn't score a few more points and get the over? Just a few more points.
You got to man up in a little bit. I do a tip before we go into a break. Man. Number 12, Notre Dame played. Number 24, Navy. Boat race, Navy. Navy comes up short in that one. They looked not very good. And shout out to Notre Dame for getting it done. Also, Bama, number 15, Bama against 21, Mizzou, 34-0. They went back to business over in Tuscaloosa. Oh. So a couple top 25 games definitely to keep our eyes on.
And Navy, by the way, dropped out of the AP Top 25. When we come back, Kirk Cousins lighting it up in Tampa. A monster day, four TDs. We'll get more from the quarterback when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm.
Victory!